Today's Bible reading is from Philippians 3, verses 7 to 14. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider lost for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so, somehow, attaining the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Sometimes I don't want to be a Christian because sometimes I am aware of the fact that I'm not very good at it, right? And then I read something like this wonderful passage. By the way, I'm here because Jeff is on call for the army. I'm amazed he's not in his uniform as chaplain, but if you have any military problems, the chaplain is going to be here. But here's the thing. Jeff's on call today, so at any moment something can happen. It probably means we're at war if his phone goes off. Isn't that lovely? And then he will leave us and go and help the army. And I want you to pray for Jeff and the chaplains. It's a remarkable ministry they have. And if you haven't already done so, go and see the movie 1917, which my 31-year-old son rang me this week and said, do you want to go and see this movie? I popped a couple of angina tablets and said, yes, son, that would be great. But it just, you know, it's a shake-up call for what's going on and what has gone on in the world. And, mate, thank you for representing our country in that and representing our Saviour. So where was I? I wasn't being a very good Christian sometimes. And so I wrestle between being, you know, all this stuff in the Bible about meekness and graciousness and love and gentleness and patience and endurance, apparently. Endurance. That actually involves work. Have you ever been an athlete? I mean, Diane used to be an athlete. Some people think she still is, being married to me. But it's hard yakka sometimes. And it's not like God is saying, which he does, I love you irrevocably. As far as the east is from the west, I forgive your sins no more. Who condemns you? I don't condemn you. Go into the world and be a light, be a salt. Be an influence. And you're sort of thinking, me? To show you a brief video, it only takes 40 minutes or so, but make that 40 seconds. And in this...
Daisy, what did we get at the drive-up window?
Not yet. Kill it.
No, Cooper, let Daisy have some.
Push the stop button, thank you. And I saw this and I thought, that's a metaphor or a parable of what it's like to be a Christian sometimes. We've got it off now. Another 20 minutes, it'll be ready to come back on. And sometimes when you see something from afar, you identify it. Because I've been in the church not for long, only about since I was 16. But I had no church before that. And I had not much family and not much community. So the church since then has been like that. And it reminds me of the Clint Eastwood movie. The good, the bad, the ugly, we're all in church. God calls us to be part of his family. What a family he's got. And so you go through the letters of St. Paul and you come up to Philippians. Now, Philippians is regarded as one of the joyous letter. It says joy a lot of times. It's a warm feeling letter. It's written in jail. And it's to a church in Philippi, which is a wonderful town. I haven't been there yet, but it was named after Philip, the father of Alexander, Philip of Macedon. A critical place for the Romans. And Paul writes to this family of God in which there are two people fighting each other, two women, coincidentally. If it was written today, they'd have changed that around into binary selection options. Somebody in the church is creating a fight. There's heresy in the church. But there's no good church without good heresy, I always think. Not everybody has to agree. And there are things going on in the room too. Don't have to strive. You keep everything relaxed and let the Holy Spirit do everything. Well, in my life, the Holy Spirit doesn't do everything. Unless he is as stupid as I am. And so there's this bit of a tussle going on. And Paul talks about this in Romans. The good you do doesn't get done. The bad you don't want to do it, you know. Done it and fall into it. So I ask myself, and I want you to ask yourself, what sort of Christian am I then? Am I worthy to endure? Am I worthy to participate? Am I participating in a way that's going to be most helpful? Now, the dog video. Hello, the dog video. Listen and watch carefully.
We just went through the drive-up window. What did we get, Cooper? Daisy, what did we get at the drive-up window? No, Cooper. Let Daisy have some. No, Cooper. Daisy, where did we go? Did we go to McDonald's? No. Daisy gets hers first. Why does Daisy get hers first? Because Cooper eats his too fast.
Daisy and Cooper. I mean, I thought the thing was that the lesson was about patience. When I first saw it, I mean, firstly, I love Cooper because he looks like a dog. And I love the way he steadfastly endured this crummy little piece of fluff licking the ice cream. And he is a big, strong dog and he stands back like a gentleman. Like a humble person, like a spirit-filled Christian, and lets little Daisy have. Didn't you feel good from that warm and shelly? And then he gets a chance. Wham! So who identified with Daisy in the thing? What's wrong with these people, Jeff? And you didn't have your hand up either. Who was with Cooper? Come on. And the rest of you are cat lovers, I understand that. So here it is. Here it is. And one of the things I love about life and in some of the studies I've done, learning about the differences of people and how those differences allow people to take things in themselves. We were watching, Diane's a bit of a more an arty-farty person than I am, so we watched a couple of movies about, what's the guy without the ear? Van Gogh. I call him Van Gogh. He shot himself at 35. He only started at late 20s painting. And the guy was as mad as a meat axe in lots of ways. Of trouble internally. And in some of his life, there was the God thing happening all the time, because in those days, most of the people who were artistic did what they did as an expression of their understanding and belief in God. It breaks your heart to see how raveled people can be in their dealing with their inner lives and their faith. I'm encouraged sometimes to meet with people whose path and struggle in life has been very difficult. It makes me feel embarrassed, frankly, to think that I might have had a tough time growing up as a kid when I see what's happening in people's lives. We went to see a play this week called Every Brilliant Thing. Has anybody seen or heard of that? Well, it's around. It's locally, you can see it. And it's a story of a little boy. It starts with a little boy whose mother... It starts with her in hospital. She's had a suicide attempt. And he's 7. So the rest of the play is living with a mother and a not very involved father, I need to say, who is always on the edge here. There was nothing to hang on to for her. There was nothing to live for. More importantly, it's about a little boy who was growing up watching his mother on that edge and hanging on to her like grim death. And many of you heard the expression, it's better to light a candle than curse the darkness. The little boy, petrified and terrified and being at the hospital in the waiting room, waiting to see what's going on with his mother. And this happened again and again. And so the story is him growing up through his school days, high school days, university days, dating days, complex work days, all that sort of stuff. And he developed a formula to help his mother, and it was to give her something every day, a brilliant idea. Every day, a brilliant idea. Idea number one, to think about. Idea number one was ice cream. Yeah, who's for that? And then he goes through. And so the play walks us through. And what happened to the play? We got there a bit late because of the traffic. But what happened is people walked in, they were given brilliant ideas to participate. They're asked, do they want to participate? And if they said yes, they were given something to read. And so we sneaked into the back seat and I looked over the shoulder of the bloke in front of us and he had a piece of paper. And on it was, what was it? 99,994. Now, that's an exaggeration. It's, as Julia Gillard would say, it was hyperbole. But he encouraged the audience to stand. So all, in the midst of his story, he'd stop. And he found a beautiful woman. And it tells a story about how he met her and how shy he was. And it took him awkward days and nights to make a connection with him. And then they got together and they broke up. But they still exchanged something every day. And I thought to myself, here is a, you know, Christianity has parables. Here's a parable of a parable. That every day We have a relationship with God that calls us into the community, calls us to be hope givers, healers, encouragers, lovers, helpers. And every day, if you like, we have an opportunity to give someone a brilliant idea. You don't know what a difference you make because God is in your life. You're not on a treadmill. You're on the way. You're not going to quit or give up because the love of Jesus, I call it, you know, people use the word unconditional love. Slushy and mushy and psychological. I mean, nobody loves unconditionally. And half the people in the world don't know what conditionally means to start with. So how would you love somebody unconditionally? But irrevocably, God is committed to you. Irrevocably, the cross that we've just celebrated is a way of God saying, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So, this has got under my skin, this story of a brilliant idea, a brilliant thing, every brilliant thing. So he fed his mother these things, he wrote them down, he put them in places that she would always see, in the kitchen, taped onto something. And in the play, we're asking people, what's 733? And the guy gets up and he reads this. What's 1,943? The lady gets up and reads that. And so we go through this. So we're being flooded with this kind of positive energy. And I'd like to tell you it was a happy story. Well, it was. But his mother eventually died. She took her own life in the garage of their home by putting a pipe in the exhaust of the car. And he was grown up by then. And you'd think that was the end of the story. What I liked about the story was what happened to him. And even when he broke up from his girl and he threw away the thousands of notes that he'd written. Now, I probably want to say psychologically, this guy was obsessive compulsive, right? So when nobody's perfect, and not being obsessive compulsive isn't perfect either. So, you know, if you want to analyze it and get into your head, you think, talk about Van Gogh. Why would somebody write thousands of one-liners to help people? Watching the birds fly every day. Waking up and seeing sunshine coming into my bed. You know, all of these things. What sort of a person does that? A person whose life is so pressed by the frightening reality that the person he loves the most wants to leave him. He was doing it for himself. Now, I think God has given us much more than ideas, things that are brilliant. God's given us a gift. And in the story that I looked at the other night, in that gift, and by the way, that's played by an actor. In fact, I've got him on the radio program tonight because I thought, I've just got to get that out to people. And even if people aren't Christian, they need to know that there's a hole in the life, in the heart of somebody. A God-shaped vacuum, it has been called. And giving a person a brilliant idea won't fill that hole, but it will stop some of the negative processes that are going through them. And opening them up, I think, and I believe, for somebody like you and me to say, I've got a brilliant idea. I'll tell you what my brilliant idea is. God loves me irrevocably. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Ephesians, this is all about endurance, by the way, Jeff, if you're ticking off your boxes of what you told me to talk about. One of the things that I guess impresses me is the fact that when you're dealing with people, you don't know what impact you might have. I'm working on, and Dave's dying nuts because, you know, I'm working on this thing of genuinely trying to affirm people. Now, what difference does that make them with the Christian thing? Well, Paul in Ephesians, changed my life. I met a guy called Bruce Larson in America, who's a well-known writer in the 70s. And he's a bit sort of new agey, touchy-feely, kumbaya-ish, you know, and that was probably the stage of my life when I thought that was important. And it was, and it is. It's just not good to wallow in it. And he talked about relational theology, and he used the passage, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And that's not all there is. And this is where the endurance thing comes in. We're not just sitting here feeling lovely and relaxed and waiting for our turn to lick the ice cream and then go off, or in the case of most of you, chomping the ice cream and go off in the world with enthusiasm. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, but he's given us the task and the mission of reconciling also. That's the endurance quotient for me that the church has. Jesus said, I haven't come to be served, but to serve. That's what we're here for. And we bring, and I know that sometimes you drag your backside into church sometimes because you don't feel like coming, and there's a dozen reasons of what's wrong with you, and your back's bad, and that football knee that I've got, and all this sort of stuff. And it takes endurance sometimes to turn up. It takes endurance sometimes to pray when nothing much is there to be thankful for that you can see. It takes endurance to see in difficult, complicated, self-indulgent, neurotic people. It takes endurance to make a connection and an eye connection. So I'm working on this thing. This is prior to brilliant thing. I'm working on this thing of where I can is thanking people. When the book of Philippians is talking about this, give thanks, and everything give thanks. And I like to surprise people. I mean, you'd be surprised how your capacity to reach out and affirm somebody, and that's what Bruce Larson told this ridiculous story, and he was on the speaking circuit all around America. He was on a plane flying to, you know, sort of where, Idaho or somewhere exciting and important, and he was working on his sermon, as Jeff will tell you, sometimes we're on the last minute and we're having to do things, and sometimes God will give us an idea, or we will think of a stupid idea that God should take away from us, but we write it down anyway in case it comes in. And he's sitting there doing this, and the air stewardesses, or whatever they're called now, the blokes, walk past, and she said, somebody's wearing English leather aftershave. Shows you how old the story is. Old Spice is older. And this is a remarkable Christian thing for him. So he's sitting there. He hadn't had a good week. He'd had a fight with his wife. He got on the plane cranky. He was thinking, I'm going to write this damn spiritual story to inspire 2,000 people at the convention. And I don't want to be here. And I don't feel like it. And she wanders by. Like, am I getting this right? He wanders by and says, somebody smells good. And guess what? It was him. And he describes, so he sort of shyly put his hand up and says, it's me. And here he is, 60-year-old guy on the tail end of what he thought was his life. He went a lot longer than that. And feeling like nothing, and she made him feel something. And he took that gift from her, which is pretty selfish, worldly. I can think of a lot of negative things about it. I mean, who wants to smell good? I mean, who thinks that's a fruit of the spirit? Not many of us. And he described the conference as one of the best he'd ever experienced and the best he'd ever. Who took credit for that? God? Absolutely. The Holy Spirit invigorated him to be the sort of person that he should have been anyway, but he wasn't. But somehow or other, that experience, that gift from another person, took him out of himself and enabled him to be a better servant of his Saviour. Wow. So in the midst of the things you have to endure, you know, right now, Paul described this in the context of running a race, running towards the goal, leaving those things which are behind, the crass, the critical, the inadequacies, the bad self-worth and the bad other worth, the anger, leaving those things which are behind, I press forward. So we're committed. Everybody here is committed to this journey this morning. Okay? I just want you to go with an affirmation. So in your own head, now you've identified yourself as which dog you are. All right? And you all know that. It's an expose, that. Just in case you think you're a humble, careful, thoughtful, generous, patient human being, there's part of you that still has a lot of bite to get things done. So I want us to take that from here this morning. God's not asking us to go into a world that he's not there. People say, oh, we're going into a world and we'll meet. God's already there. Somebody walked into a Quaker service. Remember the Quakers, the Society of Friends? And in a Quaker service, unlike noisy people like me, you go there and you sit. Hopefully, pray silently. But you sit. And you sit. And nobody says anything. So this guy went into the service, thought it was his local church, and he says, mate, when does the service start? And the guy says, the service starts straight after the worship finishes. Let's serve Christ with endurance. And let's sing a song. You ready to go? Aren't we blessed with these people? Holy mackerel.
Let's sing a song.